sing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with darkness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep. The wind and the wave shall obey thy will. Peace be still, be still, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. Earth's sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven is in my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more, and with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. The wind and the waves have obeyed thy will. Peace be still, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all have sweetly obeyed thy will. Peace, peace, be still.
Thank you, Seminary Quartet. Yes, be still. It's great to know that Jesus has the same power to still the tempest in our lives. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joy for me to open the Word of God in this first seminary worship and to meditate on the Word of God. I would like to start with two simple questions. The first one is the following. You know that God's people in the Old Testament, Israel, were in Egypt. They were slaves there. But God liberated them. And now my question for you is, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, where did he bring them? It's simple, right? Well, some say to Mount Sinai, to the Promised Land, to the desert. Well, let me tell you that as for geography, you are right, but theologically speaking, you are completely wrong. Let me prove it. Let's open the Gospel according to Moses. In chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, Gospel according to Moses, Gospel according to Exodus chapter 19, and let me read verse 4. When God is now speaking to Moses and he need to say this word of God to God's people, "You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt." What they did, what they saw? Well, how God defeated all Egyptian gods, right? And also Egyptian army. And then also you saw how I carried you on eagle's wings for several weeks already. He brought them to the special place, to Mount Sinai. But now we read, "Yes, you yourself have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to Mount Sinai." What do you have in your Bibles? In my Bible, I don't have that he brought them to the promised land, but he brought them to himself. "And I brought you to myself." The most important thing for our God is not a thing. It's not an accomplishment, not an agenda, not a place, but it's a relationship. Jesus said, "When I will be lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself." Relationship. This is the most important value. Our God is God of relationships. Well, how God was building this relationship with God's people, with Israel? He brought them to a place, but this place was only there in order to bring them to himself. So how God was building this relationship with them? Well, I have no time to develop this theme. Therefore, I will concentrate only on one specific item. How God was developing this special relationship with Moses, with his servant. And I think that it can be a marvelous lesson for us, how God was developing it. So I have now my second question. You tell me if I am right. God brought Israel out of Egypt, brought them to Mount Sinai in order to bring them to this special relationship with him. And then he called Moses to go up to the Mount Sinai. Moses spent some time with the Lord. And when he went down, his face was radiant. Correct? Correct or not?
Yes.
And let me tell you that this is not correct. And I would like to again prove it from this gospel, from the gospel according to Moses. Because we very often superficially read the scriptures. And in these details, there is a great message for us. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 19. And then so let's start with verse 3. Then Moses went up to God. So he is going now to Mount Sinai. And the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, and we already started to read what God said to him. And he said, "Well, you will say also to the people of Israel, I want to make a special covenant with you. You will be my people. You will be the kingdom of priests, a holy nation." So Moses is going down according to, following verses you see, like verse 7. So Moses went back and his face was radiant. Do you read that in that verse 7? Nothing like that. You see, he was with the Lord coming down. His face is not radiant. Well, he is telling to people everything what God said to him. And the people responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said." And then at the end of verse 8, you see, so Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. So he went now for the second time to meet with the Lord on Mount Sinai. And then when you read the following verses, you read what God told him when he was there for the second time. And in verse 14, "And after Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them." Again, no one word about his shining face. Well, you go with me to verse 20. You read, "The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up." For how many times now? For the third time. "And the Lord said to him, go down," and so forth. And then in verse 25, So Moses went down to the people and told them. Again, no one word about his shining face. Already 3 times with the Lord, and his face is not radiant. Well, in chapter 20, you read that now God decided not to speak only to Moses, his servant, but to the whole nation. And this was the most magnificent occasion when God, with all his dignity and majesty, is there speaking to Israel. The whole mountain was shaking. There was, darkness. There was lightning. There was music there. And in all of this, God spoke to them with his own voice. What a magnificent occasion. God speaks to them. And when God speaks to them, we read almost at the end of the chapter 20 that now people were afraid and they were running to Moses saying, please, Moses, you speak to us, not God, because if God will continue to speak, we will die. And then in verse 20, Moses is responding and saying, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. What does it mean when God is coming down to test you, to test us? What does it mean? What other word you can use? What synonymous word you can use? To educate you? Maybe the simplest would be to teach you or to help you. You know, God was coming down to build this relationship with them, the whole nation, to help them, that the fear of God will be with them to keep them from sinning. And then in the following verse we read that people remain at distance and Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. And now Moses is to the Mount Sinai and staying with the Lord for the fourth time. And when he is there, now you need to read the rest of chapter 20, chapter 21, 22, and 23 in order to understand what God told him when he was with him for the fourth time. In simple language, God told Moses how to keep the commandments in the social setting. How to take these principles of life and live it in that nation. And then in chapter 24, in the beginning, in verse 3, we read that Moses went back and told the people all the Lord's words and laws. And they again responded with one voice, whatever, everything the Lord has said, we will do. And then there's a renewal of the covenant with even sprinkling of the blood. And there is a seal of the covenant there. And then again at the end, people are saying for the third time, we will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey. And then in verse 9, you read that this time God is calling again Moses, but in that occasion, he is not going alone. The leaders of Israel are invited to Mount Sinai to spend some time with the Lord. So now Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 elders are going up to meet with the Lord. The company of 74 leaders of Israel. And that you will be not have any doubt, it is twice stated that they saw the God of Israel. Wow. What a statement. They had the communion, the fellowship, relationship, personal connection with the God of Israel. We read that they saw him. And at the end of verse 11, you read that they saw God and ate and drank. Well, interesting, on Mount Sinai, a banquet. Who prepared this banquet? It is not stated clearly, but I can imagine that it was really God himself who prepared the banquet for these leaders of Israel. And eating in the biblical time, it means to seal relationship. If something was wrong, now everything is restored. The friendship, the closest bond is established. In the Middle East, even till today, if somebody is eating with you and inviting you, this is the greatest honor for you. If you would refuse, this is the greatest insult. And when you are eating, you are like saying, well, everything is now nice and correct between us. And if somebody will come and do something wrong to you, I will be here to help. And if something will come to me, you will come and defend me. The eating is very solemn in the biblical time. This is why Pharisees were so angry at Jesus when he was eating with sinners, right? This is why when we are eating during the Lord's Supper, the greatest bondage of one family is established. And they were eating and drinking well. And then when you read, continue reading in chapter 40, 24, you read that God now is telling, now Moses, you and only you out of this 40, 74, come closer to me. But before I will go and continue with Moses, let me ask you, what happened with Nadab and Abihu? You know the story very well about them, right? They saw God of Israel, and after several weeks later, what happened with their faces? Were they radiant? Were they shining? They were pale because they were dead. You see, when we are talking about this issue, it is not very simple. You can have a great experience with the Lord and still be not right with the Lord. Well, and if you continue in chapter 24, you read that now Moses is going up in continuation in this fifth encounter with the Lord, and he's preparing himself. And then in verse 18, we read, then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Well, let me tell you that I don't want to preach this morning about Moses. I want to preach about the God of Moses. What this God of Moses can do in your and my life when we let him. Let's pray. Lord, please speak to us by your word and by your spirit. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you paid close attention to what we were reading so far in this biblical gospel according to Moses, you noticed that Moses was always closer and closer to the Lord. First we were reading that Moses went up to the mountain. Then he went to the top of the mountain. Then we were reading that he was approaching the cloud where Moses was residing. And now we read that he actually entered the cloud where God was. And he stayed with the Lord for how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Well, now I have to ask you another question. What was it in the life of Moses that his face was radiant? You know that one day his face will be really radiant. But now we already saw that for the four times he was with the Lord and his face was not radiant. Because usually we answer, well, Moses' face was radiant because he was with the Lord. And I am sure that this was your thinking till now. I was thinking the same. Then I studied it carefully and I realized that it is not so simple. It was not that Moses was in the presence of the Lord, that because of that only, his face was radiant. So my question is, what was it in the life of Moses which brought this change? What was it in the life of Moses in his experience which caused that his face was shining? Now let's continue. Now Moses is with the Lord for the fifth time. He's now alone and with him for 40 days and 40 nights. During these 40 days and 40 nights, he received two special gifts. He received the Ten Commandments, and also he received the blueprint how to build the sanctuary. Because time is pressing, I will have no time to develop it. But then, after the special gifts he received, and after spending so long time with the Lord, he is going down. Was his face shining? Was his face radiant? Yes or no? I see that you are now very careful to answer. But the answer is no, not yet. On the contrary, when he's going down, and now this encounter for the fifth time Moses experienced with the Lord is described in chapter 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. And now in 32, you read what happened. And Moses is going down. His face is not radiant. On the contrary, his face is burning of anger because he sees what's going on in the camp. He sees the golden calf and the dancing and immorality, and his burning of anger. And we read in verse 19, his anger burned and he threw the tablets out of his hand, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. Well, you know that then was a very difficult time in the camp. There were deaths. But the next day, as we read in chapter 33, in verse 30, Moses said, I will go to the Lord and I will pray for you. And verse 31 is saying, so next day Moses went back to the Lord. For how many times now? For the sixth time, yes. And he's now praying and he's saying to the Lord, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold, but now please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. You see the total dedication of Moses. He loved the Lord and he loved the sinners. He is willing to give his life for them. When there are difficulties in your church, what are you doing? Are you praying like Moses? No, he is praying, he is willing to give his life for them. No wonder that Moses is called the type of Jesus Christ. He is the intercessor, but in his case, he did not need to sacrifice his life. Only the true intercessor, Jesus Christ, was giving life for us. Well, after showing this total dedication to the Lord, total love for sinners, when he's willing even to give his life for them, Moses is going down from Mount Sinai. Is his face shining? And the answer is no. Not yet. You see, what was it in life of Moses what was still missing? What is in my life? What is in your life which is needed that our face is radiant? Is shining. Well, if I will now say in my words what happened according to chapter 33, you read that God is saying to Moses, Moses, you don't need always to come to Mount Sinai to meet with me. Just make a tent of meeting. And there in that tent of meeting, we will be together. Don't confuse this tent of meeting with the tabernacle. Tabernacle will be later on built in the center of the camp. But this tent of meeting was outside of the camp. And you can read in chapter 33, verse 8 and following, that when Moses was going there, all people were standing in front of their tents, looking how Moses entered into that fellowship with the Lord. Well, let me tell you that I don't know how many times Moses went to meet with the Lord in that tent of meeting. Maybe 15 times, maybe 20 times, maybe even more, 50 plus. I don't know. But one thing I know, when Moses is going forth and back to meet with the Lord, he became a friend with the Lord. How I know? In verse 11 we read, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. The friendship was developed between God and Moses and Moses and God. They were walking together. They were enjoying fellowshipping. They were enjoying presence of each other. And they were great friends. And when one day Moses was in the tent of meeting, talking with his friend, he asked him, he actually realized that he does not know his friend. More he knew his God, he realized that he does not know him. So he asked him, according to verse 13, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, that I may know you." Teach me that I may know you. I don't know you, Lord. You are beyond my understanding. And he already had plenty of understanding of God. I don't have time to go and enumerate what was already in his life, how great and deep experience and walk with God had Moses. But now he's in the point when he's asking, "Well, I don't know you. Teach me that I may know you." And when in this conversation is going on, he has now the special request. "Lord, please show me your glory." And in verse 19, you have God's answer, and God is saying, "Well, good, I will show you, Moses, I will show you my glory." But actually, God is not saying that. God is not saying, "I will show you my glory." What do you have in your Bible? What God is saying? "I will show you what? I will show you my goodness. I will show you my kindness." The glory of God is his goodness. The glory of God is his character. Our God is God of love. He is God of good and kindness. And what brings people to repentance? You know that statement of Paul. Do you not know that the goodness, the kindness of God leads you to repentance? This is the force which can change us, transform us, that we are totally different people than before. And God is telling him, according to chapter 34, Moses, now next day, early in the morning, you now chisel the two tablets. You know, you broke it. Therefore, it's like a slight rebuke to him. Now you will chisel and I will write these 10 commandments, or better, 10 promises there. On these tablets. And then we read in verse 4, "So Moses chiseled out 2 stone tablets like the first one and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning." For how many times now? For the 7th time, that's right, as the Lord commanded him, and he carried the 2 stone tablets in his hand. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name. "I am the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished." Our God is God of love, and not only love, but abounding in love. You know, this is the self-revelation of God, and this is the most beautiful self-revelation of God. This is the core of everything you have in the Bible. Later on, not only Moses, but all writers will come back to that self-revelation of God, and they will repeat it and expand it. This text, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, is John 3:16 of the Old Testament. Learn it by heart. If people are asking you, "Who is your God?" the best answer is to repeat after God. And I wish I have now the whole day to go word by word and show you the beauty of God, this goodness of God. Well, Moses spent with this Lord now another 40 days and 40 nights. This we read in verse 28 of chapter 34. And when he is there, we read that Moses were there 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. How long you can survive without eating? 60, 65 days. how long you can survive without water? Maybe up to 5 days. It means that the Lord was for him everything. He received all the energy from God. And now, after spending 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord, when he was for the seventh time with the Lord on Mount Sinai, he's going down. Was his face shining? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. The answer is yes. Finally, his face is shining. Did Moses know that his face is shining? No. Those people who are shining, they don't know that they are shining. As pastor, I had experience several times when people were coming to me and saying, "Pastor, I am perfect." And more they were speaking to me, more I knew that they are full of themselves, but not of the Lord. Now the question is back. What was it in the life of Moses which brought this change, that his face was radiant, was shining? What was it? It was his deeper understanding of the goodness and kindness of God. You know, when we are coming to the Lord, we should be like the morning flower when the sun is coming. When the sun arises, we should be like the flower which is opening more and more to the warmness of the sunshine. And we should be like, in our relationship with God, opening ourselves more and more to the kindness and goodness of God, that he can change us and transform us. Let me say it in a different way. It is not enough to come to the presence of the Lord. You saw that Moses was many times in the presence of the Lord, and still his face was not radiant. So it is not enough to come into the presence of the Lord, but it is important to come into the presence of the Lord. Because if Moses would not come into the presence of the Lord, his face would never shine. But it is not enough to come into the presence of the Lord. You know, when I was pastoring in Europe, people were coming into my church, and Sabbath after Sabbath, some of them were always the same. They were always coming to the presence of the Lord and criticizing pastor and youth and program and this person and that person. I had even two families, they were not talking to each other for several years. Coming to the presence of the Lord Sabbath after Sabbath and still be always the same. Yes, it is important to come into the presence of the Lord, but we need to know him personally and allow him not only that it will be intellectual knowledge, but it will be transformational knowledge, experiential knowledge, that we open ourselves to him like flower to God, that he can not only give us good knowledge, but can change us and transform to his image. That the qualities of God could be our qualities. That we can serve as God is serving, that we can love as God is loving, we can be patient as God is patient, we can be encouraging as God is encouraging, we can be really like God. You can continue with all this harmony. How is God? We should be. And this is what brought this change in life of Moses. This is what God invites us in the beginning of this academic year. You know, come to my presence every day, but not only know me intellectually, but know me experientially. Open yourself that I can transform you, that you will be a shining person, shining Seventh-day Adventist, shining Christian. Let me close with one biblical verse and one story, which I think can wrap it very well. The biblical text is in the New Testament. When Paul is reflecting on this experience of Moses, he is saying in the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and now we Christians, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is, we need to see the glory of God every day and open ourselves to this glory of God, to the character of God, that he can change us in ever-increasing likeness, that we will be transformed to the image of God. Amen? I think that we are in the hand of God like pumpkin in the hand of the American farmer. If the American farmer wants a pumpkin, what he need to do? He need to go outside, right, to the field and bring this pumpkin home. This is what God did in your life. He went out and he searched for you and he called you and you are here. But what else this farmer will do? The pumpkin will be home and then he will wash the pumpkin, right? This is what God is doing for us. He is cleansing us from all our iniquities. And he is faithful and he is good to cleanse all our sins, to blot all our sins, to give us this assurance and joy of salvation. But then what American farmer will do? Well, he will take a knife, right? And will cut the top of the pumpkin. And then with his own hand, will take from inside out all this yucky stuff. We need to allow God to do the same for us. Open to him and let his hand change you, transform you, that you will be a different person, not only cleansed, but a new person in Christ Jesus, that all this yucky stuff goes out. But then American farmer will take the knife again. And what will he do? He will cut the beautiful smile on the face of this pumpkin. This is what we are as Seventh-day Adventists. We are the happiest people in this planet. Because God saved us. He created us. He redeemed us. And we have the mission. Our face must be a radiant face. Our smile must be always from east to west. Not from north to south. God wants to make us happy people and be contagious. But this is not yet the end of what American farmer is doing with the pumpkin. Then he will take a candle and will put inside of the pumpkin. And he will lighten it. And this is what God is doing according to the story. This God of Moses is coming in us by the Holy Spirit. And he wants to change us, transform us, and be light to this world. Let your light shine before people, that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dean. As we prepare to depart, on your way out, you will be scanned, or you will scan your ID, and you will be given a magazine. It's the newest magazine. It's called Current Magazine. And it features women in the seminary and second issue. The first issue was last year. And I hope that you will read the articles because there are some fantastic articles in it. And may God bless you. Let us stand and hear the benediction. After the benediction, to avoid a mad rush, I'm asking those who are in front and midway here to leave through this door. And so scanners, if a couple could come to this door, and then the others go through the doors at the back and the balcony, find your way out. Let us pray. You are now being sent into the world to let your light so shine so that you may glorify our God who is in heaven. So to you who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ, Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied as you go from this place and minister to one another and to the world in which you are present. And may God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.